I have no idea what title this will be because I don't even know what I'm preaching yet exactly. I do know this. I'm just going to follow the instructions. How's that? Yes, sir. Joe, come help me here for a minute. I want to lift this picture up and make sure we get a real good close-up for those watching by internet. This is the painting, and we'll bring it around here where you can see it in a minute. Joe will. Won't you, Joe? This is the current painting that when you come into from the foyer into the sanctuary, that's hanging on the wall out there. And I'm telling you, it could not be more prophetic as to not only the prayer center, but the next move of God. Amen. This is the move of God that's coming. Now, I know some people are listening and can't see the video. So I'm going to describe this painting the best that I know how. And it goes back to what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that the fields don't be saying 4 months and then the harvest. He said the fields are ripe for the harvest already. Now, in this painting, Jesus is standing in this glorious field. It's white, kind of whitish. It looks like it's wheat or something. It's harvest time. Huge field. It just goes on forever. And there's Jesus with his hand out like, come, come and help. But you got this huge field, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people. And off in the distance is a city, like a modern city. You could put Tulsa, you could put any city there that you wanted. Some perfect symbolism that he's not talking about wheat. He's talking about people. And he's the harvest is ready. It's ready to be harvested. I'm going to say it another way. I don't want to put an evangelist guilt trip on anybody. I've had them come and do that to me. But it is true. People are dying today, going to hell today, that could be reached if there were more laborers in the field. People that are on their way to heaven and not, both, are dying of all kinds of damnable diseases. That those diseases could be stopped if we had more laborers in the field. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is calling the body. See, many people aspire to ministry. And when they're thinking of a pulpit ministry or something like that, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. But really, the job of the fivefold is to equip the saints. That's every believer for the work of the ministry. Could I say to labor in the fields? Now, not everybody's an evangelist, but everybody's something. I was reading an article. Now, Joe, if you don't mind, I think I did describe it pretty well. Now, Joe's going to kind of walk the picture around because he's young and strong and doesn't get tired, where everybody can see that. Now, I'm going to recommend we're going to hang that back up. In fact, Joe's going to hang it up when he gets through, if he doesn't mind. I recommend to you that you take a picture of that on your phone. I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on my phone. I need to see that picture more often. Because that is the move of God. That's the next. Like God had the charismatic move. God had the healing move in the 40s and 50s after World War II. God had the, you know, there's been moves of God. Amen? We've had the teaching of the Word of God move. We've had prophetic. Some people talk about an apostolic, although I haven't seen a whole lot of apostles come out of that. But anyway, I've heard a lot of people say they are, but I'm not going to go there. Can y'all see that? Now, with that picture, with that thought in your mind, there's a prophecy that he reminded me of, and I had to find it. I didn't print it and bring it with me because I did not realize what he was doing exactly. But there's a prophecy at Dave's website. When you go to daveroberson.org, kind of over on the right, there's a box. And it says, the next move shall be my army. And there's a place where you can click to read more. Well, I've got it on my phone here. And let me just read to you in conjunction with that image, that the fields are ready to be harvested. Amen? Now, a lot of people's attention span nowadays is about as long as in between commercials on TV. That's how you've been trained. But now, I started not to read this whole thing, but I'm going to read the whole thing, and I say, in Jesus' name, your mind will be attentive. Okay? The next move shall be my army. There have been different moves of my spirit over the years. The healing move, the teaching move, the charismatic move, the prophetic move, the apostolic move, the presence move. Each one was for my purpose of restoring truth to the body. That which my spirit brought forth often got out of balance when men tried to carry on in their own strength and understanding, rather than to endeavor to follow my lead. Get that? The imbalances did not offend me, but my heart grieved at times as I watched the motives of those who tried to take the lead that I was not giving them. Maturing always includes a purging, so that motives and agendas become one with mine. Man, you could preach a month right there. But some desired to exalt themselves rather than letting my spirit lead them. The exaltation that comes by me will never be late for the one who walks with me and is willing to trust me. Now I have a people who have had the benefit of gleaning from these moves. The next move will be an army. My army. A people trained, now notice, a people trained by my spirit who serve me and fight with the weapons I supply. An army dressed in my full armor. An army trained, disciplined, and faithful whose confidence is in me. An army who walks after the Spirit in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is my army. My army is in training, quickly being made ready to march forward in dominion, doing good, bringing healing, restoration, and liberty to the sick and oppressed, to show forth the praises of my goodness, my might, and my glory. Revival is the banner of this army. Did you hear that? Miracles and truth. Miracles and truth will be the standard. And love will be the very life of this move. The army I am raising up will uphold the truths they have been built up in. And in close union with me, they will set many captives free of all kinds of dreadful things. Hello, army. This army will be wise and proven. They will believe, trust, and adhere to the commands and directives that come from me. In days past, I had my soldiers, warriors here and there. But now, I am developing an army that is banded together by my truth, like-minded, following my spirit, and serving me. I will use my army supernaturally to manifest the kingdom of the King. To stand and endure is your victory, for all things have truly been accomplished in me. The measure you give my word and that which I speak. Did you hear that? The measure you give to my word and that which I speak. Pausing. I want you to. The measure you give to my word and that which I speak is key to inhabiting the full measure of the life that is in you, receiving every part and parcel of who you are in me, and walking in the completeness of my victory. hear and partake, staying close to me, and closer you will be. That's the end of the prophecy. See, we've had those moves, and they were all of God. What we would call maybe the one-man shows, sort of, in the 40s and the 50s after World War II. The teaching of the Word of God, all of these different moves. He said, I was reestablishing truth. But this last move is going to be an army. Amen. Joel prophesied it. You can go back and read it in Joel. From the devil's point of view, we are the locust swarm that has come to devour all the work of the enemy. Amen. How Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is raising up an army, and we're part of it. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is all I hear right now. Not all I hear, but this is my number one mandate right now. I can give a few things, examples, but he's got me so laser focused this year, especially regarding healing. I'm telling you, we are going to rid the earth of this work of hell that's happening. We are going to rid the earth of it in Jesus' name. It's not of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. At least where we walk, we're going to eradicate it. You hear me? And I don't care how many setbacks and seeming failures we have along the way. I know if we don't quit, we will possess the land. Yes, there's giants in the land. I am not afraid. The giants better be afraid, because the army's on the move. Amen? But 2 Timothy 4:2, to me personally, is just, this is it. Preach the word. And that's, if you want to look it up, it's the word logos. Now, he's talking about the word of God. Preach the word. Specifically, the word that Jesus brought to us. He brought the gospel of the kingdom to us. It was not here before. No man ever spake like this man. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. So many people don't want to even talk about doctrine. Well, don't get in my service then. Okay? Now, I'm going to read this whole passage to you to see if this does not sound like the modern day church at large. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul says, what I'm saying, you got to remember, this is 2 Timothy. Paul knows he's about to be offered up. This is the last letter he would ever write. How important is this letter? And he says, I know as I write it, it's as if God the Father, God the Son are looking over my shoulder. That's how serious I take this. And I have an instruction for you. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by and in the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Now get this. Whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. What? Fornication is sin. How's that? If you think it's okay, it's not okay. You keep at it, you'll wind up in hell. We may have lost some members right there. I'm going to keep preaching sound doctrine. See, so was Nathan, so was Alan. So was Dave. And convince them. How do I do that? Rebuking and correcting. You notice how everybody flocks to the rebuking and correcting services. Yeah, I want to build a 40,000 member church. Well, don't do a whole lot of rebuking and correcting. Warning and urging and encouraging them, be unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming, I would say the time is here, when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction. Let me pause. They won't take the rebuke. They won't listen to the correction. But having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. I want to believe that fornication is okay, and I'm going to get teachers that tell me it's okay. Same with greed, same with everything else. They will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off. Now get this. This is the Greek now. This is what they heard. And will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fiction. That's pretty good. And what I mean is a pretty good rendering. Just see, what's going on right now with the radical grace movement and other things, they're making a Jesus in man's image, fallen man's image. Paul, at one place, he said, if any man comes to you preaching another gospel or another Jesus, and they're literally preaching a different Jesus than the one that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, I thank God for Alan's message this morning. Our Jesus is wonderful. I'm not looking for another. But I'll tell you right now, if my Jesus tells me I'm wrong, how many of you knows I believe that? See, and we're all trying to repent and change. One of the verses I have on here, see if I have it close. Let's see. No, I don't have that one. There's a verse that says, godly sorrow brings repentance not to be repented of. Isn't that right? Now, that's the kind of repentance where you finally repent and you don't ever do it again. Okay? But Alan was teaching this morning, yeah, but what about repentance when you're pretty sure you're going to do it again? Well, does he hear that? Can you approach him there? Yes, you can. And how you know that, and I did put this one on there, go to Matthew 18. You can see it in your Bible. See, in my smoking days, which I smoked for eternity in 3 days after I was a Christian, and it was just hard for me. I quit drinking when I got saved. I mean, I never had another drink after I got saved in 1980. Pornography left the house pretty quick, a week or two. My language cleared up pretty quick. Had to work on that a while. Other things. I can't even remember all now. I mean, we've had a lot of teaching about the preacher from the inside. New sheriff in town. That's the new nature. Okay? But boy, for me, smoking was a problem. Anyway. So let's just, that's not the main message today. But now, attending the prayer center where truth is coming forward and being a smoker, Dave would kill me 1 week and raise me from the dead the next. 1 week he would say something like, are you going to let a little 3-inch cigarette, some weeds wrapped in paper, now not weed, tobacco, okay, I never did marijuana, but it'd be the same if you were, but anyway, are you going to let some little 3-inch long cigarette dictate your life, rule you and lead you around by the nose. And I'm over there going, yeah. I kind of am, and I have been for a long time. You know, that day he just killed me dead, you know. Thank God I come back the next Sunday. Because he'd say, now, God will walk through hell with a man or a woman with their faults. As long as you're doing those things, and he was talking about prayer and fasting and the word and all of the things that are taught here. As long as you keep doing those things, that will one day spell out your freedom. And I kept, thank you, thank you. So, try and make it to the tower that Dave likes to talk about. He calls it Gary's Tower. There's a water tower on the hill. The only reason I wasn't the tower, that's the top of the hill. Once I crested the hill, you all couldn't see me light up. Unless there was a car right behind me. That's why it was there. But anyway. So, repenting? Are you kidding? Repenting? I mean, I smoked a lot. I smoked like 3 packs a day. Many, many years. Now, you define Matthew 18? I hate to admit this, but he doesn't hate that I admit it. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till 7 times? Don't you know Peter thought he was being generous? 7 times? This guy sins against me. Then he comes and repents, and I'm supposed to forgive him. How many times, Lord? How about 7? I know he probably thought 2. I bet Peter thought he was being generous, don't you? 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now, see, I knew that if Jesus said we should, man should forgive our fellow man 70 times 7. And I'm pretty sure he means in a day. I didn't think God would ask us to do something that he wouldn't do for us. Now, I hate to admit, this is a part I hate to admit because I was smoking like a freight train. 70 times 7. How many times am I smoking? Because I would repent. It was on me most of the time. And I'm not saying every single cigarette, but boy, many times a day. God, I can't believe that I'm doing this. I know it's wrong. I can't seem to stop, you know. Now again, Nathan 101 about following the new nature is the answer to that. I say again, if I would have known then what I know now, I could have quit a lot sooner than I did. And listen to the message I just did recently on that. But Wednesday, what is today? Wednesday, yeah, I think. That was pretty good. So I thought 70 times 7, that's 490. See, I am an engineer. Yeah, 490 times. So I take, there's so many cigarettes in a pack. How many packs a day? That only turns out to be like, you know, so many. I'm safe. It's less than 490. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad, you know? But the principle is right. And so I just kept smoking and praying. I don't know there may be some listening right now. I don't know what your sin is. Don't stop doing the message. Don't ever step over to that place. This is where the error is. I can never change. This is just who I am. I'll just be this way and his grace will cover it. No. Now you're on the path away from God. That's not what you do. You get back in there. You keep your heart tender before him. I don't care if you got to repent 489 times a day. Don't make 499. I'm teasing. His grace goes beyond. He was teaching by principle. Okay. You get back in there. You pray. He loves you. He's walking with you. Amen. But I will tell you this. He is purging a people. Not only in the sense of sins like that. Again, Alan's message this morning. See, we normally deal with the top 10%, smoking and chewing and going with girls that are doing, or guys that are doing, either one. In other words, the obvious things, okay? But like Alan says, you know, with an iceberg, there's 10 to 20% above the water. That's the part we normally are dealing with, right? The obvious stuff. You start praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to find out there's 80% below the water that even you don't know is there. You'll find pride, unforgiveness, things that you thought, anyway. The Holy Ghost is just really good at dealing with that. Amen? But he'll bring it up. He'll bring it up, and then you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it, okay? So the key is don't just settle. Like, this is who I'm going to be the rest of my life, and God's grace is going to cover it. No. He is purging an army, not only of the obvious things, but the things that aren't so obvious. And at the same time, he is building us up into truth. Now, James, go to James 1. Yes, sir. I don't know which one of these verses to do first. I tell you what, put a marker in James 1. No. And put another marker in Philippians 3. I guess we'll go to James 1 first. James chapter 1. Because this army is in training. Listen. If you're going to go to war and that guy with his gun is going to try and shoot you dead, and they give you a gun, you better know how to use your gun. You better believe that the bullets in it will fire when you pull the trigger. You better not be double-minded. And that's where we're going. He's raising up an army. An army is disciplined. An army, now I'm going to clean this up a little bit. George Patton, I'm going to clean it up for church. Patton says, no army ever won the war by dying for their country. You win the war by making that other guy die for his country. God's raising up an army that's going to drive cancer from the battlefield. Not double-minded, not maybe this is right, maybe this is not right, maybe healing's in the atonement, maybe it's not. Going to get our mind renewed. You're going to know who your God is and who your enemy is. See, Jesus was not confused. He didn't have any religion in him telling him maybe, just maybe it's not God's will to heal this one. There is no such thing as that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He never turned away anybody that came for healing. Not ever. He wasn't double-minded. All right, so James chapter 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. A question, here's a wisdom. Is it your will to heal every single time? That's a good one, isn't it? Now, if you go by your experience, if you go by what you see, if you go by your friends, if you go by whatever, you're going to waver. That's why we've got to preach the word. You hear me? Preach the word. Jesus is the word with legs. And I've watched him enough to know it's his will to heal every single time. Besides that, I found it in the atonement now. Yes, sir. I'll get to that in a minute. No, I'll get to that right now. Yes, sir. See, we're in the double-minded thing. Still, up until this year, I am amazed how less double-minded I am now in July than I was in January when we started this year. And really, it was a little before January. After we lost 3 to cancer last year, you all know, I said, that's it. I mean, I want to find the truth or I'm done. Right. Just done. This works. Or let's go be Buddhist or something. Yeah. I'm not recommending that. But this works. But I know what the problem is, me. It's not God. You know, I know it's my understanding. And so he gave me some instruction. And most of you, I've talked about that before. He'll give you, I don't know what instruction he'll give you. I'm just going by what he gave me. But boy, once I know what to do, Sue can tell you I'm pretty good about getting in there to do it. And I stay pretty laser focused on it too. I am stunned myself how less double-minded I am now, just 7 or 8 months down the road. I know how I thought before. And am I walking in more power? Yeah, we're having better results than we've ever had, but we're still not 100%. Now that's the mark. That's what Jesus had. That's the mark. Amen? I better read the verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He'll never chew you out for coming and asking. It's okay to ask. And it shall be given him. But now notice, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, let's think about this with the example of a soldier. They gave me this gun. They gave me this rifle. I wonder if it works. They say that's my enemy over there. I'm not sure if that's my enemy or not. Maybe God sent that guy, to teach me something. I wonder if these bullets will fire. What are your bullets, your words? Wonder when I speak if it'll do anything. Wonder if I pull this trigger. Wonder if anything will really happen. A soldier that goes on a battlefield like that is dead meat. He's done. No soldier goes on the battlefield like that and lasts very long. Now we got to become single-minded. I really recommend the messages that have been coming forward this year. You need to, if you're not persuaded, say, even Abraham, he had to become fully persuaded. Not partially persuaded, fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. As we become fully persuaded that when you speak to cancer, that cancer will leave in the name of Jesus every time you speak it. Well, that's the mark we're pressing toward. You hear me? That's the mark. You got to get it in your head. Cancer is an enemy every time. Your job is to run it off every time. It's never of God, not ever. I could use to preach that and the same words that I just said, but I'm telling you, there is a difference on the inside of me. There's a difference on the inside. I'm not the man I was a year ago. I'm getting stronger. All right? No more double-minded. Now go to Philippians. Philippians 3. Don't we thank God for Pastor Dave? Who taught us how to meditate the Word, how to assimilate the Word, how to pray in the Holy Ghost, how to fast and all of those things that bring us to the place where we are today. Thank God. Now, Philippians, I just want to read the whole book, but we'll start in chapter 3, verse 12. Oh, man. I don't know if I can start there. Paul's given his pedigree in chapter 3, a Pharisee of the Pharisees and of the tribe of Benjamin. Let's pick it up in verse 8, 7, verse 7. What things were gained to me, in other words, all of these things, my pedigree in the flesh, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And he uses a nice word, and do not count, and I do count them but dung. Boy, now that's pretty worthless, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Every sentence we could do a seminar on right here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now he's talking about walking as a new creature now, walking in the fullness of all that Christ purchased for us. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Alan, isn't it amazing the message you taught? Isn't it amazing? When he bent, I'm not going to tell him again, but when he bent down, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, that's where we are. We are reaching for something. We are reaching for a walk that hasn't been walked in about 2,000 years. We're pressing towards a mark. That mark is Christ and the fullness of that resurrection for the dead. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but I have to forget those things that are behind. And I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. And that's where our motto comes from. The best is yet to come, people. But there's something we got to do. I press. Every hour you pray in other tongues, you are pressing. Every hour you give to meditating the Word of God, you're pressing. Every time, I don't care if the last 10 people you prayed for instantly fell to the ground and die. And I'm not coming against Alan's message. You need to listen to what he said. We are where we are, but that's not where we're staying. Okay, now, love the people. Don't hurt the people. But we can't stay where we are. The harvest is ready. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I still haven't even got to the verse I'm trying to get to. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, he just got through saying he wasn't perfect, as many as be mature, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Now here's my verse. This is what I heard. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now listen. Last year and for years, I can tell you, I was pretty sure Jesus wanted to heal. And I probably could have preached a really good message about it was always his will to heal. Until I'm on the front lines. And there's the cancer patient. And I'm the only. And Dave's not around. Alan's not around. There's the cancer patient. And then there's me. And I'm the one. I'm the soldier. The enemy's dug in. What am I going to do about it? A year ago, before this time, I would have prayed. Not would have used exactly the same words I'd use today. But there was a double-mindedness on the inside of me that is not there now. Now see, if you don't yet know that healing is in the atonement, you need to go back and hear those messages that were taught this year on that. Okay, you hear me? Because you can't be double-minded. If you're double-minded, the enemy's going to win. Can't be double-minded. Get it straight. God can't say no. Can he say no on salvation? You give the gospel, you present the gospel to a group of unsaved people, and 10 people respond. Do you walk down in front of them and say, now, God, these are all calling on the name of the Lord. Which ones do you want to save, and which ones don't you want to save? Doesn't your Bible say, whosoever... He can't say no if they respond to the gospel. In that same atonement at the whipping post, with his stripes, he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. He can't say no to your healing any more than he could say no to your salvation. He cannot deny the work of his own son. Don't tell me that he will. If he's not, it's because of double-mindedness or something in us. So, even Paul, gives me hope. If even Paul says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. If he was still pressing, we can still be pressing. You got that? But where we have attained, let us walk there. Don't ever go back. Now do an inventory today. Sometime do an inventory. Are you convinced or not that healing's in the atonement? See? Are you to the point you're willing to risk your life for it? That's what a soldier does. When a soldier goes on the battlefield, I'm going to die or he's going to die. He's sending us as an army. Did you get that part, that prophecy? Isn't an army made up of soldiers? Isn't it live or die? Let cancer die for its kingdom. And we'll set the captives free for the kingdom of God. Two kingdoms at war. Let us walk by the same rule. Let's get past the double-mindedness. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now. Yeah. I believe the next thing that he's... I don't know. See, I don't want to add anything. Just a moment. He's talking about authority in me right now. See, the greatest authority... He said to that centurion, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And what distinguished that centurion from everybody else, the centurion understood authority. He knew that Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. And all he had to do was speak, and sickness and disease would obey him. And we all could rejoice and sing songs and just wonderful that Jesus has authority over sickness and disease. That does not help the cancer patient at all. What matters is, do you know that he gave that authority to you in his name? And I'm telling you right now, you can have lots of faults and still harvest. How do I know? Thank God for Peter in the book of Acts. Peter walked in such a knowledge of the power of God. He said, it's not by my personal holiness. It's not by any special power that I've got. It is that name through faith in that name. Now, what does that mean? I have authority. I have the keys of the kingdom. I have the name of Jesus. And what I say goes. When I speak to cancer, it obeys me. And he believed it to the point, if they got within shadow length of him, they got healed. And at the time, for 10 years after the resurrection, he thought only Jews could be saved, and you had to keep the dietary laws of Moses. To us, it's pretty simple things. But he was not perfect, is the point. Plus, there was something in him that still wanted the approval of men. Because even after he did start eating, glory to God, bacon and barbecue pork with the Gentiles, now, whatever they were eating. Once he did start eating the Gentile food, when the uppity-ups from Jerusalem came, he wanted to appear, you know, he wanted to be well thought of by them. See? So there was something in him still needing to be purged. The only point I'm trying to make is that didn't stop the power of God from flowing through him. Now see, listen, that picture that we brought up here, that is the mind of Christ. That's the heart of God right now. And I'm telling you right now, you can harvest with your faults. Amen. I got a few amens. You can harvest with your faults. If Peter did, we can. If Paul did, and he says, I'm not perfect. I'm pressing toward the mark. Well, dear Lord, he raised one guy from the dead. Isn't that true? Now, here's the problem. If you read that prophecy again, I see now why he had me read that. The leadership of the Spirit being led by you. Listen, there's only one Lord. There's one head of the church. That's Jesus. Amen? Don't try and become something of yourself. I like how one preacher said it the other day. He said, "Whenever, get over yourself. When you start walking in more of this and you're laying hands on people on a consistent basis and they're getting healed on a consistent basis, maybe not 100%. Did you know John G. Lake and the best? Now, he had some healings. They had documented healings, 20,000 a year for 5 years in Spokane. Say 100,000. The best healing year, though, of all of those, the highest percentage he ever got was 74%. What? He was pressing toward the mark. 74% is better. I'll tell you how you can have 0%. Don't ever pray for anybody at all. You have 100% failure rate. You know, you can be total disobedience now. What do you mean by total disobedience? My Bible says believers lay hands on the sick. Do you know Barna does surveys? You know, this guy named Barna. And he does all kinds. They're just mathematical, statistical surveys. I read this one several years ago. Do you know that most Christians, quote Christians, live and die and never lead one person to Christ? Most Christians in a year's time, any given year, never once lay hands on the sick, whether they recover or not. They don't ever even try. I'm really trying to. The reason I'm doing that, preach the word. I have an instruction right now. Preach the truth without an agenda. Okay, that's not always the case. He had me preach the truth with an agenda when he had me teaching against radical grace. I had an agenda. I knew what I was doing. But this right now, stay right down the center line with the word of God. The word of God. Amen? All right. Most believers go a year, never talk to one person about Christ, unless it's another believer in their fellowship and over coffee or something like that. But as far as sharing Christ with a lost person, most Christians go year by year. And I've been in those services where the evangelists make you feel guilty. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a teacher. Teachers don't teach the lost. Hello? I'm not an evangelist. I'm not good at that at all. I've done it, but I'm not good at it. The guy that led me to the Lord, Michael Muccio, he is a purebred evangelist. He can win more people to Jesus by accident than I ever could on purpose. He just lives and breathes souls. I don't care where he goes or what he's doing. Yes, sir. But listen, quit aspiring to ministry. What he wants you to aspire to is become ministers. Do you see that? You know the difference? See, ministry, people think of the fivefold or a pulpit ministry or something like that. But the harvest is out there. Is out there. We need spirit-filled doctors, lawyers, teachers, mechanics, coffee shop people, car wash people. I don't care what it is. Secretaries, where the harvest is. That was God's plan. Fivefold, get in here. Train the people, equip the people, get them ready for the work of the ministry. Well, the work of the ministry is not in the church. The work of the ministry is outside the church. And still be led by the Spirit. Amen. Know the word, be led by the Spirit. You're a pretty unstoppable force. Amen. Soldiers follow the general's instructions. Right. Amen? Amen? But they also, I think about my dad. My dad was in Germany in World War II. Man, he'd come back, he'd hear a loud noise, like a backfire or something my mom would tell me. Of course, I was a gleam in my daddy's eye. But anyway, when he got back, I wasn't born yet. Mom would talk about when he got back, though, he had post-traumatic. They didn't know what that was then, but if a car backfired, my daddy would hit the sidewalk, face just flat, bam, without hesitation, without thought. Any loud noise like that, bam. And Mom talked to him about it. He said, well, that's why I'm alive. And most of my buddies aren't. Trained. Disciplined. My dad would say things like, oh, yeah, we had our instructions. We knew where, to go. We had generals and then below them and below them. And then we had platoon leaders. But he says, I didn't have to ask anybody when that German popped his head up. I didn't have to ask whether I should shoot him. You don't have to ask every time it's time to pray for somebody. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, I'm not saying there's not a leadership. There is. He'll lead you into places, okay? But when the devil pops up, he just shouldn't have done it around you. Just shouldn't have done it. We'll finish in Mark 16. Go ahead. Dear Lord Gary, by now I have Mark 16 memorized. Okay, good. Let me know when you have Mark memorized. I don't either. But it'd be good. And really, I'm going to just stay in Mark. I want to read Matthew's also, because see, this is the same event. You need to combine both of these, because it's all the same event. Matthew just records some things that Mark didn't. Matthew's account, I'll be at Mark in a minute, says Jesus came and spake unto them, the 11, saying, all power, all authority. This is what you got to know. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How much? Go ye therefore. He is sending us forth with the same authority he has. And it is all authority. See, we walk in something higher than the 12 even walked. When he sent them two by two to the cities, they literally went and delegated authority. They weren't born again. They weren't sons born of God's Spirit. And the Holy Ghost worked with them. But we are born again. We are born of God's own Spirit. And you got the Holy Ghost in you. Dear Lord. We walk in all authority, not delegated authority. Because he says, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Because I have all authority, I'm sending you in all authority. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, teaching them to observe. Boy, that means more than classroom. See? In football, they've got to teach you the plays. They'll put you in a classroom and draw the X's and O's on the chalkboard so you know what the different plays are. But that's not the end of your training. That's the beginning of your training. No, the training is when they now get out on the field and give me laps. Do push-ups. Run out and let me throw this ball at you and six guys tackle you, and right there you want to quit. Maybe I made a mistake signing up for this. You know? It's like Alan, two months into the Bible training, I'm not sure God sent me here. Yeah, God sent you there. But now it's training. See, teach them to observe. Teach them to do it. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So in other words, Jesus taught them. They watched him do it. Then he got them doing it. Now they're born again. They're soon to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, I want you to go train other people the same way I trained you. Now here's Mark 16 then. Verse 14. Afterward, as he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. See, there's correction right there. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, now the reason they're called signs, these are signs to the unbeliever. These signs shall follow them that believe, not the 11. The ones that believed the 11's report. In my name. There's that authority. In my name, believer, soldier, army guy, army girl. In my name, you will cast out devils. What? Yeah. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents. Now, that's supernatural. He's not talking about snake handling in a religious service. There's nothing like that in the Bible. No. But if the enemy sends a snake, a really poisonous snake, to bite you while you're in his service, you can shake that thing off in the fire like Paul did. Holy Ghost will neutralize that poison. That's what it means. Same if you drink any deadly thing, if they try and poison you when you're out on the field. And it shall not hurt them. Boy, now here it is. Army person, army guy, army girl, in the trenches, out in the harvest fields, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. It doesn't mean, and we could teach, we'll teach on that too. See, that doesn't mean every time it's going to be instantaneous. That's not what it says. I think we should always believe for instantaneous. Yes. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be saying, well, that didn't work. What Bible are you reading? What do you mean it didn't work? Well, I didn't see an instant manifestation. He didn't say instant manifestation. Said they shall recover. Now, what we've done, and again, this is another teaching another day. We've been like the drive-by preacher. We go by, pray, we didn't see a result. We go off and have coffee and forget all about that person. No, that's coming to an end. If you're the soldier assigned on that one, whether you stay with them physically or not, that's not going to end until they recover. You're not allowed to drop them off your faith radar. Is that a good way of saying it? They're still on your faith radar. Think it's going to be good to get some way of staying in contact. Well, you'll know. Anyway, those are things that are coming. Y'all getting anything out of this? Where we have it, okay. What I wrote on here, when I didn't even know the message, double-minded no more. A double-minded soldier will get killed every single time. Well, we're soldiers of God. He is raising up an army to go out into the harvest. Don't forget that picture. I really recommend, again, as you leave today, if you have a phone that'll take a picture, you ought to take a picture of the picture. Get it on your phone. Get it on your phone where you can look at that. See, and again, God's had us in training here on purpose. It's no accident. One day you heard a Dave Roberson tape. It's no accident. God put a hook in your jaw and drew you here because there's something in you that believes there's more than what the church has been seeing all these years. Amen? And the purging and the teaching and all of that that's been going on. And it's still going to go on. It's like Paul said, we're pressing toward the mark. But see, Jesus, is he concerned about your personal growth? Absolutely. But at the same time, he is concerned for the harvest. It's time now. We've grown enough. I keep hearing this. If Peter could go harvest, believing that you still had to keep the dietary laws, believing only Jews could be saved for 10 years, if he could have doctrinal error like that, and still God could use him to harvest, I think there's a pretty good chance he can use us. And I mean today, before sundown. But we've got to get courage and quit being double-minded. So if you still have some double mind, if you're still not sure that healing's in the atonement, for example, that's just one thing, go back and listen to those messages that's been preached since about the last quarter of last year. You'll see where it starts. I think we have two messages even titled, Healing is in the Atonement 1 and Healing is in the Atonement 2. But that's not the only ones where we talked about it. Get rid of double-mindedness. Say it with me. I am double-minded. No more. I am a soldier in the army of God. The weapons I've been given work. And I drive the enemy out of my father's garden every time I find him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Glory to God.